Blog Talk Radio.
Life's not just a fair by the big wheel generator. A boy is stopped and his money is grabbed, and the air hangs heavy like a girl in wine. She is famous, she is funny, and engagement rings have made her thing to a mind consumed by brass and money. And the boy will come along. But my faith in love is still too foul. The last night of the fair, from a seat on a whirling waltzer, the skirt of censor, watching eyes, a hideous trait on a mother's side. From a seat on a whirling waltzer, the skirt of censor, watching eyes, a hideous trait on a mother's side. And though I walk home alone, I walk home alone, but my faith in love is still too low. Then someone falls in love, and someone's beaten up, someone's beaten up, and the sense of being broken mine, and someone falls in love. Required. A schoolgirl is denied. She said, how quickly would I die if I jumped from the tops of the parachute? This is the last night of the fair, and the grief in the hair of a speedway operator is all a tremulous heart requires. A schoolgirl is denied. She said, how quickly would I die if I jumped from the top of the parachute? So scratch my name on your arm with a fountain pen. This means you really love me. Scratch my name on your arm with a fountain pen. This means you really love me. Though I walk home alone, I just might walk home alone, but my faith in love is still devout. I might walk home alone, but my faith in love is still devout. I might walk home alone, but my faith in love is still devout.
Welcome back, my friends, to Where the Music Never Ends. We're so glad for all your minds that we find, that we find. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Late Night Poets Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We are part of the world's largest community. That's allpoetry.com, and there you shall find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, Monday through Sunday, 10 p.m. till midnight. Come hang with our wild dove, Luyu, Nature and Passion on Mondays. Dig into the Twisted Thoughts of the Twisted Sisters on Twisted Tuesdays. Join us Wednesday morning for Keeping It Brief, and then come back later that evening as we turn up the heat with The Art of Seduction. Thursday is a split between In Our Craft or Sullen Art with Richard and Neutron, and Double Helix with Athasiana and Dex. Friday, Come Fill My Eyes with Open Poetry. And Saturday is split between Grey Eyes Howling at the Moon in the Canadian Wilds, bringing you Bad Company, and exploring Ekphasia with Captain B2 and Dan. Now, if you're looking for a little more edgier realm, then please check out our After Midnight shows, 12:30 to 2:30 a.m., Tuesday through Sunday mornings. And take a walk on the wild side Tuesdays. Break on through with Pam on Friday. Sit in with Aphasiana and Babel on Saturdays and teach you the fine art of becoming part sinner, part saint. And then every other Sunday, join Stellina and Arcana as they delve into the darkness. Check out the contest and prompts for all of our shows. Call in to read your poems and hang for the fun. Good evening, Jean.
Hello, hello. And how are you tonight?
Oh, I'm all right. What's happening?
Oh, you know, not too much. Not too much. Just same old stuff. Another day in paradise, you know. But yep. I mean, it's good to have you here. And just so you know, we have two callers on the line. We have Pam. So hello, Pam, and welcome to the party. And we
have
Deck. What's up, Pam? Tell us all about it.
Same old, same old.
I know the feeling.
And who else we got?
I'm here, Rex.
We have Dex on the line.
How you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Hopefully all is well. Glad I could be here tonight.
Yeah.
Glad to have you.
Absolutely. So it's just, you know, another Sunday night, you know, another party. Yeah. We don't party much on Sunday nights anymore. We pay tribute. Strange
that seems
to
be the norm of life.
Yes. But that's all right. At least it's a good thing, right? So it seems like we have a nice board. Lots of poetry going on. Four of us here to comment and read. That's pretty good. I like it. We have a few audios, too. So it's a nice balance, I think. Absolutely. So what you got to tell us tonight, Rex? I know you always teach us something.
Just a couple of things. Andy Rourke, our tribute tonight, so to speak, from the Smiths, was born in Manchester in January of 1964 to an Irish father and a British mother. They moved to Ashton-upon-Mercy, and somewhere along the first few years, his mother left the family, so his father raised him. He got his first guitar at 7, and he met Johnny Marr at school when he was 11. They used to take the lunch breaks together, and they'd jam out in school while they were eating lunch. So that was their start. They formed a band a little later on. Andy switched to bass, which he loved to spend the rest of his life playing. He left school at the age of 15, passed through a lot of menial jobs in various bands, including Funk and Freak Party, which he formed with Marr. And that's where he picked up somewhere down the line. In his early days, he picked up using heroin, which led to various problems throughout his life, unfortunately. He joined the Smiths in 82 after their first gig. The bass player at that time, Dale Hibbert, they fired, and he joined the band thereafter. Now, their second album, Meat is Murder, featured a 7-minute funk-inspired track that the critics regarded as one of rock's greatest contributions. That was Barbarism Begins at Home, along with Charming Man, The Queen is Dead, and How Soon Is Now, some of his more innovative takes playing bass. Let's see what else. He was also praised for his rockabilly bass lines on Rush Home Ruffians and No Way Fast. Rush Home Ruffians, we just heard it. And that was a nice bass track laid out in the background. A little bit funky, a little bit upbeat, and something you don't hear a lot of, a featured note within the song itself. Suffering from addiction, Morrissey got sacked in 86 in the band after he got arrested for possession of heroin. They hired Guy Pratt at that point to come in and play with them, but he found trying to play parts, his bass parts, extremely difficult. So when 2 weeks later he actually got permission to tour with the band in the U.S., he rejoined them, and they split up in 87 after their fourth album debuted. And he's been playing around. He played around with a bunch of other people, including Morrissey himself, during those years. He spent time with Sinead O'Connor. Sinead O'Connor was featured on a couple of Morrissey solo albums and a couple other bands to boot. So he'd been around a bit. He was kept himself busy, and he was 59 when he finally passed, unfortunately, and that was not too long ago.
A rough life, man.
Unfortunately, yes. Sometimes it comes a bit too soon, Claude.
That's the hard part, you know. You can go so far and they end up throwing it away. It's a shame. It's a shame. Well, I don't know. Well, that's some tidbits. That is some tidbits.
I never heard of the Smiths. I knew some of the music, but I didn't know it was them over the years. So just like a lot of bands, you get to hear things, and you don't know who's playing it because you never hear any of the artists on the radio, like they do these 6, 8, and 10 song boosts, and all of a sudden you've gone through everything, and you don't know who did what because they're not telling you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty cool. I just became familiar with him, I guess, maybe about 7 or 8 years ago. Someone introduced me to the music, and I was like, he's a big fan.
We just had him on a few weeks ago with the television show. That Here Is Now song is one of theirs, and that was featured as part of as the intro to Charmed for all those years.
Amazing, isn't it? And then all of a sudden, you find out where the roots are. Interesting. Absolutely cool. Okay. You want to get started?
Absolutely.
I see that. That's what I'm going to do. First song I'm going to play is, I forgot the name already. Headmaster Ritual. So let me put that on. We'll get the party started for real. So here it goes.
We'll be right back.
Omphalos Otalgia by Luke J.R. Where is home? Where is the house you call home? Dialing on a crescent moon, I'll see you soon. Calling on a distant planet, I'll hold you to the moon. Yet you know she's not far away. You know he's home. Because what did he say to you on that awful day? He looked at you with his eyes. He felt you instead. And here you are while laying alone. You think he's dead? Shrapnel, sharpening like splintered pencils scribbling. Through the many scribbles, I see your face. Through the eraser marks, I feel your face. Whether it's the bumps in the paper or the scent of your collar, I remember you. And yet, you still look on the distant moon. You say the words, I'll see you soon. So these bruises you speak of, why hide them underneath your thick sleeves? Why hide the bullets? Why hide the knees? Because I'm so hidden, don't you realize I have needs? Why all the questions? Why plant all the seeds? Why give someone hope when you are all she needs. Mr. Line, line of fire, Mr. Sign, man on a wire. Defense remains stronger than ever. Let's join hands. Love me forever. And Pam, let's kick it with you, please.
All right. Well, first of all, great read there, Rex. I really liked this one. As always, it's a strong write by Luke J.R. You know, I think it's a wonderful reflection of the prompt, brilliant imagery and metaphors. I like how it speaks on the idea of trying to hide those bruises and hide the pain. And, you know, really, I think to me, the main message is going back and confronting the abuser, going back and confronting the abuse, trying to understand them, but more importantly, trying to understand yourself and why you feel such a need to keep your own pain hidden. And I think that comes through with the use of questions, you know. So these bruises you speak of, why hide them underneath your thick sleeves? Why hide the bullets? Why hide the knees? Because I'm so hidden. Don't you realize I have needs? You know, just a powerful line, beautifully written, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Dex, how about you?
Yeah, this is a very intriguing, right? Where is home? Where is the house you call home? You know, it's a great way to start it. It just brings the reader right into it. I like the little war references throughout, you know, the shrapnel, the bullets, you know, miss the line, line of fire, man on the wire. So lots of different references to bring it back to the prompt. But it's a very interesting take as far as a relationship and like Pam said, trying, you know, feeling as though you have to hide your own pain. Possibly hide the pain because the person is going to use it against you was kind of where I was going with it. You know, certain things you can't bring up to somebody, you know, or being in a relationship that you can't bring up to somebody because that's just going to be ammunition they use in an argument down the line. And so, very well done.
Thank you, Dex. And Jean, how about you?
You know, I think this is a really well-composed piece by Luke J.R. And I say that every time I see a piece of his, because it's always really well put together. You know, the questions that I've been, and I have to agree with Sam Mendick, you know, throughout the, most of the piece. I kind of was going to that second stand, because I think it holds a key to the book. Shrapnel, sharpening like splintered pencil, scribble. Through the many scribbles, I see your face. Through the eraser marks, I feel your face. Whether it's the bumps in the paper, I remember you. And yet you still look on to the distant moon. You say the words, see you soon. It just has like almost, I don't know, because, you know, when I look down here in the author's notes, you know, of course I did that already, you know, shares needs amongst the seas. So prompt one, which is the song we played, obviously. But he has here love, beauty, memory, society, death, and family. So it kind of puts a question in my mind as to, you know, who died. You know, where is this leaning into? So rather than sit here and try and second guess the poem, I liked it, and I liked that stanza, and I liked all this work, all well done. But I'm going to leave it there. And I'm going to let Lex tell me all about it.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Jean. I guess I got to start with the title, Omphalos and Autalgia. The two thoughts work in that one. Omphalos being the center hub of something, and the autalgia meaning ear pain. So this kind of boils down to what was said, and then again, what's never heard, because he hits on that idea down in that third stanza, Because I'm so hidden, don't you realize I have needs? Why all the questions? Why plant all the seeds? Why give someone hope when you are all she needs? So as it starts out with what was said in that first stanza, goes down to that third stanza planting that hope in the knowledge that you are all she needs. Yet, somewhere along the line, words are uttered that are heard and that hurts with the ear pain going with the nostalgia. But also, there's that angle of not listening and also pains being generated because you don't open up to the thought of listening in the first place. So there's a duality in this I like. So nicely done, Luke. Thank you very much.
Nice. Okay. Well, the next piece I have is Sheila Take a Bath. And I have two phones, so that one's got to be one. So let me put the audio up. And we will be I got your design right on me. I'm going to listen to you now.
Sheila, take a bow.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, that was good. Now I have the next piece up by Betty Page, and this one has an audio. It's always nice. So here we go.
Sweetie, find the one. Am I wrong to want to live on my own? No, I'm not wrong, but you must know why someone so sweet sing words so cruel. Sweetie, take me home. Kick back, relax, set this world on fire, dear. Just take me home tonight. Come out and find the one that you love and who loves you. This one that you love, well, she loves you. Oh, Am I wrong to not always be good? No, I'm not wrong, I knew I would. Why must someone so sweet sing words so cruel? Sweetie, take me home. Kick back, relax, set this world on fire, dear. Just take me home tonight. Come out and find the one that you love and who loves you. This one that you love, well, she loves you. Oh, love, take my hand, we'll ride off swift. You're my guy, I'm your girl. Love, take my hand, we'll ride so slick. You're my guy, and I'm your girl. Sweetie, take me home. Toss all your fears into flames. Honey, come find the one that you'll love most. Honey, come find the one you love most. End poem.
Great read, Betty. Thank you very much for SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And Dex, why don't we take it with you first?
Well, great parody off of the prompt. And you know, she was able to capture that song so well, and then she did that with her you know, which is always great that she did the SoundCloud for it, you know, because she could at least do the right justice. Sweetie take me home, relax, kick back, set the world on fire. It's just very perfect lines to go along with the time, with the sound. She really was able to, you know, not only capture the songs in this prompt, but also really kind of nail the verbiage of the genre of the music at that time also. So very well done.
Nice, Dex. Thank you very much. Gene, how about you?
You know, I thought this was a nicely done piece by Betty. You know, I love to hear her sing her words, because, you know, Dex says, you know, it does the words justice, and it just, I don't know, it just resonates better in my mind when she sings or even speaks her own words. But I thought that she did a nice job with this. I like the chorus, sweetie, take me home, sit back, relax, set this world on fire, dear. To take me home tonight. Not find the one that you love. He loves you. This one that you love, well, he loves you. And then, you know, the verses, you know, are short, but they're good. You know, each one is just nicely put together. You know, am I wrong to not always be good? No, I'm not wrong. I knew I would. Why must someone so sweet sing words so cruel? I think Betty just really did a nice job with the prompt, and, you know, she made it in. I think that it was well done audio-wise as well. So thank you, Betty. Really liked it.
All right. Thank you, Gene. And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, this is wonderfully entertaining. She did a great job singing it. It's a spot-on parody. I really like the vibes that she creates with this. Oh, wonderful write on, with great, of course, lyrical quality on, you know, taking a chance on love. And I did like that verse that Gene pointed out, am I wrong to not always be good? No, I'm not wrong. I knew I would. Yeah, and why must someone so sweet sing words so cruel? I like how she brings that in, because it adds a touch of darkness and kind of, I think, works as a reminder that no one or no relationship is ever perfect. There's always going to be those problems, but you need to still, you know, take those chances. And I also really like, love, take my hand, we'll ride off swift, you're my guy and I'm your girl. It really does just really have that whole young love, energetic feel to it. Of riding off into the sunset on the motorcycle and just finding the right person despite each other's flaws. So very well done.
Nice. Oh, I got the opening of the two verses I have. She's got that question, why must someone so sweet sing words so cruel? That start with the first verse, and then the second verse to "Why My Summer's So Sweet, Sing Words So Cruel." Had me thinking of Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young. Love the one you're with, because it hits on the very same idea. Well, there's a rose in a fisted glove, and the eagle flies with the dove. If you can't be with the one you love, honey, love the one you're with. So it goes with that that idea of take the time with what's already in front of you instead of looking for or hoping for that something, whatever, past what is already sitting in front of you. So nicely done, Betsy. All right, Jane, we're back on you.
That is nice. Now, Pam, I'm going to ask you to read the next one. It's by Time Teller, and it's called Fly. So whenever you're ready.
All right. Chicken dinners and mache paper molded into cast-offs and runaway vapors. Sheila, Sheila, you lie more than anyone, and yet you follow the one and only. Bright lights and TV dinners, the news like life is full of sinners. Get drunk down the pub, smash up the social, new hairstyle, retro punk. Sheila, Sheila, always obtuse. It's the same as lying up there so high it's like you're flying. He loves you, pretty sure of that, as you bounce and jiggle along, singing those songs, transcended and cool as a cat. Sheila, Sheila, always you, Renege, on an agreement. Did they teach you that at school, or was that the one and only? Hand grenades and twisted drones, they deliver more than an Amazon gift. We grew up in this neighborhood. Now we are strained or sieved, finger pointing and shit stirring hoods. Sheila, Sheila, you think you're wise. We are the stupid ones. We'll never get to be with you, the one and only. We all have a lie, unlike you, who only ever has one truth and poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, you're kicking us off with this one.
Well, I'm not super familiar with this film. So, like, you know, it's already faded out of my brain, so I have to be honest. But it was interesting, the beginning of this poem. Chicken dinners in the same paper, molded into cast-offs and runaway races. Sheila, Sheila, you lie more than anyone, and yet you follow the one and only. Bright lights and TV dinners, the news like life is out, retro punk. Sheila, Sheila, always accused of staying with lying. I had there so high, it's like just flying. Interesting beginning to it, because, you know, what way is this going? So he's kind of laying out he's setting the stage for Sheila, Sheila, you know, very well. And I think it was just cleverly done and nicely put together. And he goes, well, I don't enforce it. Sheila, she's getting wrong out here, you know. So sometimes always not something on his back here. You know, it just goes on with more of her flaws. But apparently Sheila thinks that she's okay. You would never do that. So, you know, interesting. I've known a few people like that, actually. So, great job, Tom Taylor, and thanks for sharing with us tonight. I enjoyed the piece. It was a lot of good image. So, thank you.
All right. Thank you, Gene. All right, Dex, how about you?
Yeah. I thought that this was a very well done piece. You know, about somebody that the writer feels like kind of putting up a front or kind of living in a way that, you know, isn't in line with the modest maybe background. You know, when I read chicken dinners, mache papers, molded cast offs, you know, TV dinners and things like this, I think of, you know, coming from a modest background. But Sheila was one to put on a new hairstyle and go down to the bar and almost act in a way which we always, you know, are passing judgment. Who's to say that they're acting in a way that's not them? But from the readers, from the writer's standpoint, it almost feels like it's behaving in a way that is a lie, and that they know the truth of behind their background. And I thought it was very well done.
Excellent. Thank you, Jack. I like that. Pam, how about you, since you got to read it?
Yeah, this was a great poem. You know, I like the repetition of Sheila, Sheila. I thought that worked really well for the poem itself and to connect it with the chosen prompt. I saw this one myself speaking on religious hypocrisy, those who point fingers at others. You know, and I think that goes along with lines like, Sheila, Sheila, you lie more than anyone, and yet you follow the one and only. I think it's somebody who puts up a religious front while in the background that they have that hypocrisy of lying. And I also think, and I'm trying to remember where the exact part was, because there was this part that kind of spoke to me on the idea of, telling those partial truths or just, Sheila, Sheila, always obtuse. It's the same as lying up there so high. It's like you're flying. You know, I like how that speaks on the idea of not giving a full truth or not giving a full lie. And so you really can't, in your eyes, be accused. And, but yeah, it definitely to me has this idea of hypocrisy and not only not being true to yourself, but not being true to other people in how you present yourself. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Time Tell's got some great lines in its opening one with a smiler. Chicken dinners and mache paper molded into cast-offs and runaway vapors. I like it. And then bright lights and TV dinners. And also, hand grenades and twisted drones that deliver more than an Amazon gift. We grew up in this neighborhood. Now we are strained or sieved. Finger pointing and shit-stirring hoods. It does hit on the idea of stirring up the pot to get the crowd going, so to speak. But it also hits on he loves you, pretty sure of that. As you bounce and jiggle along, singing those songs, transcended and cool as a cat. It's got that kind of a note to the stray cat strut rolling through the neighborhood, and that bite into, did they teach you that at school, or was that the one and only, that one that she let get away, that she still pines over, and the thought with the chicken dinners, the mache paper, and the TV dinners there. And it's on the notion, you've got somebody at home, yet you're out strutting your stray cat strut down at the bars every night. What kind of life are you leading, considering what you've got at home? It's her one truth. It's the one she wants to adhere to. So I like that. Nicely done, Time Teller. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, we're back at you.
Okay, dokie. The next song I'm going to play is called Heaven Knows I'm Miserable. So, here we go.
I was talking in the haze of a drunken hour, but heaven knows I'm miserable now. I was looking for a job and then I found a job, and heaven knows I'm miserable now. In my life, why do I give valuable time to people who don't care if I looking for a job. day, Caligula would have blushed. Oh, you've been in the house too long, she said, and I naturally fled. In my life, why do I smile at people who I'd much rather kick in the eye? I was happy in the haze of a drunken hour, but heaven knows I'm miserable now.
Unusual combination. Wasn't expecting that high voice. The music in the tempo kind of hits on the note of something lively and fresh, while the voice hits on the note of melancholy with the about being miserable.
Mm-hmm.
But they do match each other.
You know, want to know something, Rex? It seems like once you find out the artists that are on heroin of all things, it seems like it starts to. Starts to make sense in the music almost, or like, I don't know. It seems like the artists over the time that happen to have chosen that drug of all things, it kind of stands out in their music, it seems like to me, anyway.
Nice, okay. Hadn't quite considered that. All right, Jane, where are we digging into?
Okay, Dex, this next piece I have is by Esty. And it's called, I Saw Your Eyes Were the Same. So whenever you're ready.
Hey, this is Esky. Thought your eyes were the sun. The crushing epiphany is that words are just trees, falling in neglected, petrified forests, without receptive ears to listen to their pleas. They don't make a sound, no matter how heartfelt and honest. We fuck ourselves up and down and sideways with self-imposed limitations smeared on like butter, chanting our arm, throwing calm in obtuse wordplays. But all that is heard is a dissonant stutter, skewed elliptical trajectories of obstinate complexities, self-imposed exile in the morass of isolation, intellectualizing differences in redundant soliloquies, verbis and autobiographies of suicidal ideation, numbered volumes of cynical rumination that nobody is ever going to read, raising scars from constant self-flagellation to fulfill some kind of empty, aching need. Saying this even when you know better than anyone, how far we crawled just to see the ocean. We came to know each other between the lines overdone, gagging in chilled cocktails and tentative emotion. Resonated on some mutual frequency, I really thought your eyes were the sun. And for all that, I thought I could see it clearly. You tied me up in knots and left me undone. With nothing to fill my eyes but rusted horizons and saltwater sadness that seeps into each tomorrow, sadistically eroding the most carefully prepared foundations of all the smiling futures that I had had to borrow. Amid these crumbling walls of anonymity, no shelter from the opaque glare
of the forever blind, existence dissected into an obtuse blade of scrutiny, dreams of flotsam in the silent mind, malignant burden of presence and the presence martyrdom, strapped like an oaken beam across infant shoulders, a wandering anachronism, forever seeking asylum, with each disappointment growing tired and colder. End poem.
Great read, Dex. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, you're kicking us off.
Okie dokie, Smokey. Well, I tell you, Esky certainly has put a lot of food for thought in this write. Intriguing imagery and metaphors throughout. There's really a feeling of emptiness and loneliness, and you know the mind slipping away and trying to fill those empty spaces. I really like resonated on some mutual frequency. I really thought your eyes were the sun, and for all that I thought I could see clearly, you tied me up in knots, then left me undone. I think those lines speak on the idea of seeing someone for what they're not, or you know, I tried to say this the right way, not clearly seeing who someone truly is until it's too late. I also like amid these crumbling walls of anonymity, no shelter from the opaque glare of the forever blind, existence dissected by the obtuse blade of scrutiny, dreams just flotsam in a silent mind. I love the use of the word flotsam in there, and I like how it feels like to be made into shark bait. It's like all of the people honing in to judge you and scrutinize you are like the, you know, just, you know, the those bloodthirsty people just trying to tear you apart. And then the malignant burden of person martyrdom speaks on the idea of almost wanting to bear that weight of being the victim, because it's the one thing that really gives you an identity. At least that's kind of some of the thoughts that I have with this, right? And I think it definitely is just absolutely brilliant and definitely gives you a lot to think about. So very well done.
Nicely said. Thank you, Pam. And Jean, how about you?
You know, I thought Esky did a great take on the prompt, because the prompt had that melancholy kind of feeling and had that loss that I felt ran through it. So I thought it was well planned and expressed. And I grabbed up these two stanzas because I kind of thought it reflected it. Excuse me, Beth. Resonating on some mutual frequency, I really thought your eyes were the sun. And for all that I thought I could see clearly, you tied me up in knots and left me undone. There's nothing to fill my eyes but rusted horizon and a saltwater of sadness that seeps into each tomorrow, sadistically eroding the most carefully prepared foundation of all the smiling futures that I'd had to borrow. I thought you did a great job. So nice piece, and thank you much for sharing.
Thank you, Jean. Dex, you got to read. How about you?
Well, fantastic vocabulary displayed throughout. And I thought, I was like, man, I'm almost getting through it. And I stumbled on a couple of ones even at the end. He loaded even the last paragraph. Very well done. He has some incredible lines in here, though, throughout, you know, with nothing to fill my eyes but rusted horizons and the saltwater sadness that seeps into each tomorrow. You know, what it seems like to me, though, is that, like Pam had kind of pointed out, is kind of seeing somebody for what they weren't and then seeing them maybe for what they are. But it seems like a very tough, almost critique and feeling towards oneself after making such a wrong choice. I feel like the scrutiny is almost coming from within, because almost, you know, with each disappointing, growing tired and colder, I feel like it's the scrutiny is coming from within, and almost like a lack of trust going forward based on your own, based on, you know, what you feel, because obviously once you've in your mind proven yourself so wrong, becomes capable maybe again that you know what I mean, that maybe you can make these wrong decisions. So very well done, very well written.
Excellent. I think you hit the nail on the head with that, Jack. I got the same feeling. That opening stanza was wonderful. So the thought of it being alone. You know, if no one in the forest to hear a tree fall, does it make a sound? The idea, of course it does. Yet, no one hears it. So there's a plea in that first stanza, no one hearing the pain, the anxiety. And then the thought, everything works against them. It hits on that idea of we being our own worst enemies. Throwing calm and obtuse wordplays, but all that is heard is a dissonant stutter, one's own voice. Intellectualizing difference in redundant soliloquies, verbose autobiographies of suicidal ideation. And then again, raising scars from constant self-flagellation to fulfill some kind of empty, aching need. Ooh, the need to bring the pain upon oneself to keep it alive. We came to know each other between lines overdone, gagging on chilled cocktails of tentative emotion. Again, restrictive qualities to who and what they are in the moment. Nicely done, Esty. Oof, that was powerful. Mm-hmm. All right, Jean, we're coming back to you.
Very cool. Next piece I'm going to put up is called I Can't Be Loved, But Love Being Loved by Aggressman. And I did not see him on the line. So I'm going to play the audio. And here we go.
I walked right in and said, give me a beer. I've been told it will give you cheer, but I dribbled in the pint of ale, reflecting on why my love failed. Must have been my impervious charm that lays awake waiting to harm the women that get close to me. I can't be loved, but I love being loved, so waiting to fill the open mouth when a Guinness or two or three. She was out there in another void of light with a lad that's brighter than bright, while I caressed this glass of hollowed cheer, sipping in the loneliness with fear. I can't be loved, but I love being loved. Why should I care that she thinks of me? Far away bird, I wouldn't want to be the love that love being loved. While your wings take you to happiness, I sit here alone with my Guinness, another lovable love waiting for love.
Great read, Grass. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And Dex, why don't we take it with you first?
Yeah, that was an awesome SoundCloud. I can't be loved, but love being loved. Like you said before, you know, that's a interesting dichotomy, or it's just a interesting contrast of, and you know, it's almost as if throughout this piece, you know, when you're all drinking, and it's almost as if putting on this front of I don't care what she thinks, or I don't care about whatever, you know, it's these are almost just words at this point, because obviously deep down, this person does care. I'm unlovable, love waiting for love. And it's something that's a need, you know. whether people think it's like food or water or not, it is a need. And we can sit there and pretend and go, I don't imagine what I care what she thinks of me. Fly away, bird. And so it actually kind of, it counteracts that with the last three sentences. So just the whole back and forth of conflicting messages throughout this piece was mm-hmm. perfect, and I thought it was very well done.
Thank you, Dex. Pam, how about you?
Oh, I really like this one. First of all, I was glad he made a sound cloud, and I liked that he chose to sing that in a kind of a blues type style that worked really well for the lyrics. It's a great take on the prompt. I have to agree a lot with what Dexter says, that, there is that message of acting like you don't care, but really you do. And you want to blame it on everybody else, but at the same time, the guilt weighs heavy on yourself too. I really liked how he brought in that second stanza, the idea of someone who uses humor to deflect their pain. Humor and sarcasm must have been my impervious charm that lays awake waiting to harm the women that get so close to me. I can't be loved, but I love being loved, so waiting to fill the open mouth with a Guinness or two or three. Just a wonderful lyrical quality. You can just see how it really, to me, has a very much a Smith vibe to it. And I like how it speaks on the idea of drowning the sorrows of love rejected and just trying to, in general, deflect with being the humor and life of the party. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. All right, Jean, how about you?
Well, I have to say, I thought that, as I was reading it, I picked up the first two lines, or first two stanzas. He walked in and gave me a beer. I've been told it will give you beer. And, and he grappled on a plane of ale, reflected on why my love failed. And then he goes into the impervious charm and I can't be loved, but I love being loved. So waiting to fill the open mouth with a Guinness or two or three. It's like, as Beck said, it has conflicting messages throughout. He knows he can be, or he knows he can't be, but he wants to be. And, he's drowning his sorrows, and he's all worried about the beer. And I don't know. I just don't find that there's any kind of resolve in this poem, let's put it that way. but I think Gress did a fine job putting it together, and I think it was a good reflection of the prompt for sure. And definitely, I enjoyed the audio because it added another touch to it. And just nicely done, and great job, Gress. Thanks for sharing with us, as always.
Oh, absolutely. I like that other stanza. He walks in, and already he's dipping into a pint of ale. And as he gets onto himself, impervious charm that lays awake waiting to harm the women that get so close to me, can't be loved by love being loved. So waiting to fill the open mouth with a Guinness or two or three. So he switched over to Guinness. And when you're doing that, you're looking to get thick, because Guinness is a nice heavy beer and a great way to push yourself into oblivion, so to speak, because the next stanza, he hits on another thought. She is out there in another void of light with a lad that's brighter than bright. While I caress this glass of hollow cheer, sipping in the loneliness with fear. So he's already hitting on the idea of the impervious charm and waiting there to harm. Yet he fears the loneliness because he knows it's not the first time it's happened, so to speak. And that's why he's gone from the ale into the Guinness. We're looking to get thick in the moment. And then that last stanza, I can't be loved, but I love being loved. Why should I care what she thinks of me? Fly away, bird. I wouldn't want to be the love that loved being loved. Oof. That's a nice play on the voice itself. While your wings take you to happiness, I sit here alone with my Guinness, an unlovable love, waiting for love. Again, that note to owning up to part of the problem being the way he is initially, wanting to, understanding the need to, but also maybe pushing back a little because he thinks he's unlovable. Nicely done, Greg.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Jean, we're back on you.
Okie dokie. Let me see where I am going now. This is called Paint a Vulgar Picture. And let me hit the button. Let me hit that button first. My goodness. There we go. All right. Come back.
Okay. Where are we going?
Okay. This brings me to a piece by Lockdown Marks called Bleeding for You. And I'm going to give this one a read. Bleeding for You by Lockdown Marks. You're gone, so I'll bleed for you now. Just children, you didn't know how. Stand against the tsunami. No one survives the big sea, so I'll just bleed for you now. We climbed the mountaintop, yet they said we were wrong. Just children, but we knew how to belong. With no place to hide, we would stand and abide. So for you, I'll just sing our song. You're gone, so I'll bleed for you now. Just children, we didn't know how. Stand against the tsunami. No one survives the big sea. So I'll just bleed for you now. Who cared if we live or die? And so we followed a desire. As children, said we could share the fire. Stand against the rain. Watch them complain. Turn up the amplifier. You're gone, so I'll bleed for you now. Just children, we didn't know how. Stand against the tsunami. No one survives the big sea. So I'll just bleed for you now. We won't be going home. You traveled the longest night. Just children, we couldn't see the light. Except forever together against stormy weather. I'll bleed for you now, all right? End poem.
Great read, Jean. Thank you very much. All right, Pam.
I thought this one was interesting. Great read, Jean. You know, it had great use of imagery and metaphors. I liked the lyrical vibe to it. It definitely spoke on facing an overwhelming amount of pain. I think for me, the biggest struggle I had, as I was reading it and contemplating on it, was where it said, where the kind of repetitious idea of we didn't know how to stand against a tsunami. No one survives the big sea, so I'll just bleed for you now. I feel like somehow that speaks on the idea of not being able to face the world and would rather be hurting in front of just an individual person. You know, and I'm not really sure exactly if that's what that means, but that's kind of the idea that I get. And the fact that he repeats it, it's obviously a very important point. You know, I think that maybe perhaps what it's getting at, as far as I can see it, is the idea that we can't survive out there in the world alone. We have to be raw and open. And share our pain with someone who understands us on an individual basis. So, but this is a wonderful, heartfelt write and very well done.
Thanks, Pam. Thank you. Dex, how about you?
Bleeding for you. You know. Maybe this is has a lot to do with context of just what's happening and within. My life, you know, I work at a school, and right now, you know, I was just supporting kids at the high school graduation. And, you know, it has you reflecting on your old, you know, graduation and thinking about, you know, kids that were, you know, how seeing these kids that are openly gay now and how it is. And just thinking about kids that were, like, in my class, unfortunately committed suicide and things like that. But this has the feel of it, of being children and entering out into this big sea of life and having to fend for yourself and just knowing how hard it is, knowing the struggle that it's going to be. And you know, and to recognize somebody else is hurting, bleeding for you, you know, it's like I feel sorry for this situation. I just think that it was a fantastic write, and it just reminded me a lot of just the departure of, like, a high school graduation. It's time for everybody to go out, you know, so very well.
That's a great analogy there, Dex. Thank you. All right, Jean, how about you?
You know, I found this to be a really interesting tribute to the Smiths, because he said he didn't take this on any one prompt, but on a number of songs contributing to the tribute lyric. And I can kind of get that, because there is a lot of melancholy that I've heard throughout the Smiths' work. The ones I've heard anyway, I'm not going to lie. And I think that there's something else going on in here too. I mean, but I think what got me was this one here. It started out, "You're going to all bleed for you now. Just children, we didn't know how. Stand against the tsunami. No one survives the big sea. So I'll just bleed for you now." But then the next line, "Who cared if we live or die? And so we followed a desire. Just children, glad we could share the fire. Stand against the rain and watch them complain. Turn up the amplifier." And it kind of gave me this idea of, every generation doesn't like the next generation's music, and it was a little bit of what I felt maybe is some defiance in that stanza. And that, that this was maybe the music of choice, I have to guess on that. And that they stood together as friends and, just defied the adults and played what they wanted as loud as they wanted and just ignored them. But some of it does have me puzzled and confused, and heck, what I thought I knew, I might be confused at too. I don't want to lie about it, but I think it was a nicely penned piece, and I like the repeat stanzas, as I think Sam had mentioned. And I think that it's a clever piece. I just have to kind of, I just wish I had that little bit that I could like tie it all, the way I want, the way I would like to see it, like the big picture. But well done, Lockdown Lark. Nice work, and thanks for sharing.
Nice. I'll walk with that same thought there, Gene. Think of the Summer of Love, 1967, standing up as kids against that motif. Back then, it was the Vietnam War. This walks on the same level, but in a different tune going forward, 50 plus years, so to speak. The idea, because it hits on that, keeps hitting on that notion, just children, all the way through. And he also hits on that, they said we were wrong, but we knew how to belong. With no place to hide, we would stand and abide. So for you, I'll just sing our song. That being the music of the day, that which rings in the hearts of that generation, that stand-up moment, that revolutionary ideal, that call to arms. Nicely done, love that. And the idea of bleeding might actually be the thought that offering up the metaphor of bleeding to you now, because you're either gone literally or gone figuratively. It works both ways.
I get that. I was looking at that last stanza too, and we won't be going home. We've traveled the longest night. Just children, we couldn't see the light except forever together against stormy weather. The longest night, that sounds kind of final. And, one of the Smiths did die, so I wonder if there's some kind of tie in there that I'm just not capable of putting together.
Well, that last line, "I'll bleed for you now, all right," is almost that call that maybe he walked away while they still wrangled on, and he realized in the moment at the back end of this, "I'll bleed for you now, all right," the idea that, he shouldn't have given up the fight, so to speak.
Yeah. It was a good piece. Just need that. Could have just more. I'm so greedy. Anyway. Okay, the next one I'm going to play is called "Death at One's Elbow." So I'm just going to run that button.
Oh,
short one. Yes, God. Okay. Now that brings me to a piece called Death of the Adulteress by Jenny DeVee. And I have an audio for that.
Death of the Adulteress. Oh, girl, stay home tonight. Don't do it. Don't go to his house. Stay inside. Your husband really loves you. Not that tool. Oh, girl, don't mess up a good thing like a fool. Don't say I didn't warn you to stay in bed. You decided not to use your head. There's a tracker in your car, yet you still flee, fraternizing with the now family's enemy. You are lost, girl, losing all hope and respect. Oh, girl, what have you done? Why the secrets? Nobody is here for you anymore. Leave your gaslighting at the door. Slipping on your words, tripped your tongue. Wake up, stupid girl. You're no longer young. Should have stayed home last night. Risked it all. Now it's your last time. Waiting outside your secret lover's house is your hatchet-swinging spouse. I tried to warn you and be there for you. I did. But, oh, girl, you dug your own grave with that last fib. End poem.
Great read, Jen. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It's very much appreciated. And, Gene, we're going to start with you.
Well, see that? See how you are? I thought this was a great take on the prompt because, you know, the prompt is, you know, don't come to the house tonight. Oh, Glenn, don't come to the house tonight. And it goes on, and it kind of is a good reflection of the prompt. And it was well put together, and, you know, it was some clever thinking on it, you know, because the real, real short lines in the song. And hers are much longer, but it still conveys that same thought. So I think Jenny really, several feet. So, you know, great work, Jenny, and thanks for sharing. Nicely done.
All right, thank you, Gene. Dex, how about you?
Yeah, this is a great dark right and dark tale about, you know, how it can shift to there, you know. You know, you decided not to use your head. You know, this is a woman that is way too driven, obviously maybe sexually driven in a kind of perverse way. But even, this is, I feel like this is written from the viewpoint of her friend. Right. Because it's almost like she's explaining to her friend, and her, even when even your friend is going, this is bullshit what you're telling me. Then, you know, that it's not, you know, these stories aren't lining up. And to me, this sounds almost like a girlfriend going, this is bullshit. And And I love the way that it ended. I mean, it was the way that it ended was the right way. Somebody swinging a hatchet outside, and it was just a very lively poem that got to the point that it needed to go to. So very well done, Jenny.
I like that, Dex. Thank you. And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, I really like this, and I think it was spot on when Dexter described it as both dark and lively, because it is both of those simultaneously. And, you know, I liked your observation on it being a girlfriend, but I think I have to disagree because, and I thought that, honestly, I thought that to myself, but then I read it a couple more times. And I looked at the ending and some of the other clues, like there is a tractor in your car, yet you still flee. And while outside, you're waiting outside your secret lover's house, is your hatchet swinging spouse. you know, I really actually feel like this is told from the point of view of the husband himself. He's the one that puts a tracker in the car, so he knows, because he's not going to tell his wife's best friend that he put a tracker in her car, unless they're in cahoots. Who knows? Maybe they're in cahoots. I just like that word. Mm. That's a good word. But, yeah, I really get the impression that this is told from the point of view of the husband who is saying, hey, I love you. I'm offering you something good. But you know what? And it's almost like I like how there's this escalation of the darkness. And it's so just trippy how there is almost within the rhyme and the word choicing, this almost bounciness to it. And then all of a sudden, those last lines where you're like, you realize that the guy is standing outside, the husband is standing outside with the hatchet, just ready to do her in, because she just was the straw that broke the camel's back, was that one last fib. So excellent write by Jenny, and very well done.
Nice.
Excellent. Yep, I'll agree with you on that, Pam. But I'll add one more thing. Oh, I would love to hear this with the background music of Be Careful With That Axe, Eugene, from Pink Floyd. You hear, be careful with that axe, Eugene. And then, ah! I think that'd be a nice play on this.
That would be awesome.
Oh, that was perfect. All right, Jane, back on you.
Okay. I had to say, though, the song itself, you know, don't come to the house, mate, because there's somebody here who'll take a hatchet to your ear. The frustration it renders me hateful. Oh, and then it says, you know, slip on my trail of my sad remain. So kind of ended it the same way as the song. Go, Jenny.
Yep.
Great work. Okay, the next song I'm going to play is, is it really so strange?
I left the north, I traveled south. I found a tiny house and I can't help the way I feel. Oh yes, you can kick me, and you can punch me, and you can break my face, but you won't change the way I feel. I love you.
Thank you.
Okay, and that will bring me to Pam. And Pam, if I could get you to read this next piece. Excuse me, it's called Strange Love Remains. Strange Love Remains by Heartthrob. Whenever you're ready.
There's nothing strange about love. Perhaps others cry, the dove, the inner workings of a heart. Be not deceived by this part. What's destined meant to be cannot change the way it is, for stepping stone be a rock, and its toughness it won't stop. Cut me and I shall bleed, yet I'll still love you, they can't be believed. The mystery behind this pain, the joy I feel, be just the same. That's just how this story goes, for it is written in this prose. Kick me, crack my face, no matter what, love won't change. Many believe I'm lost, but I've been found for a cost. For this bleed, it runs red after being kicked in the head. You find it strange the way I feel. It can't be helped because this is real. Can't go back home, I feel alone, for I never left this life I own. Strange as it seems, I can't change how I feel. To go left, cold is north. To go south, the way is dark. What's to understand? We find it strange as the way I feel. No, it won't change. Find no reason to this rhyme. You think it's strange, yet it's a sign. I can't help the way I feel. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you. All right, Jean, you get to kick this one.
Wow. Well, I thought it was nicely done. I thought it was a clever piece. There's nothing strange about love. Perhaps other cries it does. The inner workings of a heart, be not deceived by this part. What's destiny meant to be cannot change the way it is. A stepping stone be a rock. And it's toughness. It runs straight around throughout. And it has a story. And, I like the story that he's put together. And he does lean on, I can't help the way I feel, he puts that big and bold at the end. And I think that, I think it was just nicely, the tale was well told. And I think that, it was just a well done piece by Heartthrob. So, nice share, and thanks for sharing with us tonight. Well done.
Nice. Thank you, Jean. Dex, how about you?
Yeah, this is an intriguing, right? I think that there's a deep underlying tone of spirituality and revealing of the writer's faith somewhat throughout this piece, because if you feel like you're heading to where you're destined to be, or if you feel like it just is fate where you're at, you can absorb those kicks to the face. You can absorb the bleeding and the being kicked in the head and the person has kind of become almost stubborn in a way that, I feel left cold as north and go south as dark. That could be wrong. But if you have such strong enough faith that, you can make anything right. And I feel like that's kind of what this love or what this write is kind of giving me the feel of. So well done, Heartthrob.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Thank you, Zach. Pam, how about you since you read it?
Yeah, this is a wonderfully emotionally charged write. And I think it fits really well with the whole punk rock type lyrics that you expect that, besides having oftentimes political and social commentary, almost speak of the idea of rebellion. And this is almost an idea of rebellion against someone who doesn't obviously want you to love them, because they wouldn't treat you that way if they did. And still, as Dexter was pointing out, you stubbornly go on continuing to love them. And really emotive lines, hard-hitting, and, you know, just continuing on that path of loving someone who is always just going to hurt you. So excellent write and very well done.
Nice. That last stanza really hits it for me, especially that last line. Find no reason to this rhyme. You think it's strange, yet it's a sign. And that, I can't help the way I feel. And then rolls right back into this right here, right in the middle of the piece itself. That's just how this story goes, for it is written in this prose. Kick me, crack my face, no matter what, love won't change. So all the little tidbits she dropped in here work well on that note, because she dropped that right in the middle of the piece, and then she finished out with this, I can't help the way I feel. That's just the way it goes. Nicely done, Hot Job.
Okay. All right. Now, Dex, I have the next one for you, and this is called Misery Line by Guarani. Guarani?
Yeah. Hey, give me a second. Usually my internet is right on. Tonight it's been a little bit slow, so give me a second here.
Maybe I'll just,
no, there it is,
I think
right
it's
there.
Me that's slow. It's me that's slow. I thought I hit the button.
I was going to say, it seems like I've been a little bit behind all night. But
no, it's been me.
well, at least you'll take a little bit of the blame for that then, a little bit. But Groundway, Misery Lines. Finding the misery in throwaway lines. Shouted by ghosts of lost hope, urban jungle smoking dope, concrete metaphors called life in a stolen car, crash endings of cheating death. Found in a polysphere fast food grime of a sink estate knife crime, made hopeless in a TV's dreams and false fantasies of fairy tales. Miserable and knowing escape is just a lie. Watching rats as big as cats feeding on dumped rubbish piles. Boarding up windows where no one knew who died. He died watching them carry out the body bag. This is reality of any place, anywhere. But no one bombed us yet. Food banks and hunger, feral cats you might cook. Is it any wonder, heaven knows, I'm miserable now? End poem.
Great read, Dex. Thank you. All right, Naomi, lead us in.
Yes, I really liked this one. I was glad to see that Garanway was inspired, and great read there, Dexter. I like that he took the idea of misery, and instead of putting it on a individual level, and the idea of broken hearts, lost love, which, you know, is all very, you know, important and definitely more than a fair share of poets have written about the subject. But he takes it on a global level, on a social level, taking a look at the urban jungles and people starving. And, you know, I thought this had powerful lines, amazing imagery. It speaks well on the miserable state of war-torn and poverty-stricken countries, but not just them, but the poverty-stricken people, even in the United States, you know, those who are lost and forgotten in that urban jungle. And I really like that beginning stanza, and I also like the third one, watching rats as big as cats feeding on dumped rubbish piles, boarding up windows where no one knew he died, watching them carry out the body bag. it's all those, you think of all those poor, those homeless people or, you know, street workers, people who are forgotten, and they're nothing more than a John Doe or a Jane Doe by the time their body is discovered. You know, just hard-hitting lines and very well done.
Nice. Thank you, Pam. Jean, how about you?
This poem's got a lot of rough edges, man. Sharp edges, I should say. I kind of think it suits the title of the Is It Really So Strange? Well, I think it is. I think it is. Finding the misery in throwaway lines shouted by ghosts of lost hope. In an urban jungle, smoking goats, concrete metaphors called life, and stolen car crash endings of cheating death. It's a strong stanza there, the very first one. And I think it really draws the reader in and makes them want to see where this is really going. And, it's misery lines. I mean, it really is. They're all harsh and they're all, harsh reality, really, a lot of them, you know, and watching rats as big as cats feeding on dumped rubbish piles, boarding up windows where no one knew he died, watching them carry out the body bag. It's really a harsh poem in that respect. And, you know, and that, I like how he used the song title, I'm Miserable Now, as his ending line in this poem. Although it was written to a different prompt, I think it really fits the actual poem itself. So well done, Ronley, and thank you so much for sharing. Good write. Very good write. Strong
nice.
And lines. Mm-hmm.
And Dex, you got to read it. How about you?
Yeah, this write gave me a very New York vibe to it. Just the crime and the things that are happening, but also the rat problem and everything that is happening out within the poor areas of New York City. But I thought that this really captured it because it's talking about TV dreams and fairy tales. I feel like there's especially when you're in a place like New York City, it's the dream big mentality. But the reality is that the majority of people are, especially when you're poor, that this is the reality that is going to play out for you, period. I mean, there's less than 1% of people that are living out those dreams. And so I thought that this was a very well done piece because you're talking about misery. It does correlate with what we believe is our where we want to be. So well done.
Nice, thanks. I'm going to go off of your end and expand just a little bit. Before this great bit of knowledge stream that we dipped into over the past 20 years, we used to get those little tales of stories, but we never knew them. Now we get to actually visualize them in the moment because of the internet. There's so many people with phones and cameras out there. You get to see this all across the world, across the country in real time and understand what real misery is. So I think that's the tale that this tells. It's so much in your face now, you can't avoid it. Those little tidbits of stories, you wondered if they were true, especially watching rats as big as cats feeding. Yes, I knew about that 50 years ago. And yes, there are some rats as big as cats that do feed. So reality has hit home with the fact that the internet has given you those ideals that you can actually see in real time. So nicely done, Garanwi.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Jane.
Well, Rex, we have 5 poems. I'm going to pass on my verbal comments on the next one.
Okay.
And this piece that I put up is called Sweet and Tender Hooligan. So here we go.
He was the sweetest and the hooligan, hooligan. He said that he'll never, never do it again. And of course he won't, not until the next time. He was the sweetest and the hooligan, hooligan. He swore that he'll never, never do it again. And of course he won't, not until the next time. Poor old man, he had an accident. He was a 3x5, but that's okay. He wasn't very happy anyway. A poor woman strangled in her very own bed as she read, but that's okay. She was old and she would have died anyway. Don't blame him, he can come up and again, pull again. He could never, 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 never do it again. Not until the next time. Shave your head, every word to be full of decide. Would you listen to those motherly eyes? I love you for you, my love, you, my love, you, my love, you, my love. Till you've heard every word, but before you decide, and would you listen to those motherly eyes? I love you for you, my love, you, my love, love you just for you, my love. Don't blame the sweet and tender hooligan, hooligan. But you can never do this again. And in the midst of life, we are in debt, etc. The hooligan, hooligan. And in the midst of life we are in debt, etc. 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 In the midst of life we are in debt, etc. 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 In the midst of life we are in debt, etc.
Next one for you, and it's called I Wouldn't Do That, Nigel, by Lawrence 67.
All right. I Wouldn't Do That, Nigel. The Adventures of Nigel the Fat Cat and His Homie, Alfie. Hey, Nigel, what you doing? Hey, Alfie, I'm going to stick my tongue in this here light socket. I wouldn't do that if I were you, Nigel. Why not? I just wouldn't do it. Get Ralph Ralph the dog to do it. All right, then. Hey, Ralph, Ralph, come here, boy. Ralph, Ralph, Ralph. Good boy. Now stick out that big old tongue of yours. Ralph, Ralph, Ralph. Now, let me stick your tongue into this here light socket. Huh? Hey, 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 hey. Dang, did you see that little doggy's tongue light up like a Christmas tree? I told you. But, Alfie, how did you know that would happen? We're cats. We don't know about these crazy human things. What you doing now? with that electric shaver with the bare wire? Well, if you must know, I'm going to take a cat bath, and since I'll be in the water, I figure I'd shave my whiskers at the same time. I wouldn't do that. Why not? What could possibly happen? I just wouldn't do that. Get Ralph Ralph to do it. Hey, Ralph Ralph, come here, boy. I got this tub of nice warm water for your bath. Don't you like that? Ralph, Ralph, Ralph. Good boy. Now just take your doggy pamper off and jump into the tub. Ralph, Ralph, Ralph. Now grab the electric shaver with the bare wire and turn it on to shave your whiskers. Huh? Quick. I told you. Damn, that little dog got the hell zapped out of him. How did you know that would happen? Marianne told me it would happen. Who? Our girl Marianne? Yeah. L67 was hitting on her, and he let her see the skipper today. And well, she called me up and told me not to play with those items, and I like Marianne. Me too. I want Marianne to write for us, don't you? Yeah. Maybe we can get L67 fired and bring on our gal. Huh? To be continued, and the end. All right, that was cool. Pam?
Oh, wow. I tell you, Rex, every time you read Nigel and Alfie poem, your voice just puts so much personality in it. And I always enjoy and appreciate that, and I enjoy and appreciate Lawrence's humor and how he writes in a skit. You know, I think that bringing in Nigel and Alfie and Ralph Ralph was a great combination. Not only did it fit with the song, but it reminds me of the sense of humor of Garfield and Odie together. And I liked that. And you know, all the way through, and the Ralph Ralph and the antics all the way through are just wonderfully entertaining. I especially like, now grab the electric shaver with the bait wire and turn it up to shave your whiskers. Paul, click, zap, yikes, yikes, yikes. I mean, yeah, just I love his use of sound effects. So excellent write and very well done.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. We got another cast appeal to you hooligans anyway. Dex, how about you?
Yeah, I thought it was a great write, but it almost is kind of telling of an ugly truth of been throughout humanity, you know, all the way down to even what Nazis had done, right? It that these different experiments, it almost just seemed like an experiment, like, okay, well, you don't know how this is going to go down. Well, let's get this person to, or like, let's get Ralphie the dog to do it. It is a comical thing, and he brought it into cats and dogs and to animals. But it was telling of something that has happened throughout humanity to figure out what is happening. So well done.
Nice. Excellent. Oh, we're at the back end of the show. Great show there, Gene. Thank you very much. Thank you, Pam, for coming on board, and Dex, and for setting the show up. Next week, we're back to tributizing again. It's Tina Turner this time, so take a peek. I've got a bunch of songs up for the next show, so have fun with it, and maybe we can get into a relaxing deal the rest of the year where we don't have to honor more tributizing with more deaths in the family, so to speak, because, boy, it's been a long year so far.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Okay, everybody. Listen, what's today's Sunday? We don't have a show after this. Wow, I'm all confused now. I don't even know what day it is. We have 4 carryovers. Move them on to Friday, right? So we didn't hear you choose tonight. Check out Friday board. Okay, great. And sorry that we had to carry them ahead, but that's just where it happens sometimes. Hey, Pam, thanks for all your help with the setup of this, during the week and all the other things that we've endeavored.
And Rex, it's great to have you back, and I hope everyone has a great night. Yes, yes.